There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Goigi.
It's like kind of Native American Jewish.
Goigi. What are you doing? You're wasting a piece of the buffalo.
All right, welcome to the last podcast on the left with Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. With us as always.
On humbled knee before our dark lord, my name is... Satanic Priest Henry Zebrowski.
Wow, Satanic Priest Henry Zebrowski. Henry,
as you can see, my voice is rational and calm.
Yeah,
because that is the true trait of a Satanic Priest.
Nothing scary about it whatsoever.
Welcome,
I'm right
Father.
At ease. Henry, you were out in Atlanta. You were filming this something
for
a television project, and you were playing a devil the entire time. So you would make up the horns.
For the last 2 weeks, I've been in Atlanta, totally spray painted red with gigantic horns attached to my face, like playing a mischievous demon for a television show, and I was introduced to a book called The Satanic Witch by Anton LaVey, by the guy who did all the creature makeup, who is this brilliant artist named Shane Morton. And
what has Shane worked on?
He worked on the remake of Halloween, Halloween 2.
Love it.
He made this incredible movie called Dear God No. If you're into a 7 minute long stabbing scene of pregnant woman.
Oh, yeah.
7 minutes of stabbing this pregnant
that
woman.
That is a lot of stabbing. I guess when the person is pregnant, you got to stab twice as much.
He went for the ring. He left it all on the dance floor.
That's the only thing that I wish about the whole Manson thing is if it was in the age of video cameras, we would know what Sharon Tate's death looked like.
I mean, absolutely. It went on the internet. You remember with the best score with the gay porn star.
Yeah.
It's the good and the bad. It's like because we have all these pictures, we get to see people's disgusting brunches.
Instagram. I've never seen one 7 foot on Instagram.
Come on, people. Eat a thumb for once.
Just come on. Come on. Let's mix it up.
I hate it. A brie and muffin.
Oh,
that
my God.
Nice.
It's a fuzzy sunset.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Please show me Sharon Tate getting stabbed, screaming for her life.
I want to see a bunch of thugs taking pictures of their Glocks on Instagram. Do that.
Sounds beautiful.
I'm already dead.
God, I wish I could see that footage. So you're hanging out with this incredible guy.
These guys were great, and we kind of like made a fast bond, and then I really started reading really deep into Satanism, and I think it's the way to go.
Wow, so you're sold on Satanism right now.
Well, because it's a lot of things. I think there's a lot of human beings take symbols very seriously, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of writing, especially psychologically, when you put on a costume. And technically, what I was doing was it's like we realize it's sort of this extended mask work where I am fully in the visage of an incredibly evil looking demon, you know, and there's only so long you can spend dressed as the symbol without like. You know, you fill it out all of a sudden. You get into it.
It's sort of like the old adage, fake it till you make it. You know, so if you want to work on Wall Street, wear a business suit, until you go out there, and then next thing you know, you're just going to become a Republican.
And it's also a part of a thing in Satanic Witch. When Anton LaVey was talking about is if you have the devil's name, then you should play the devil's game. And the idea is that
he rhyme everything in this book?
No, it's pretty amazing.
I swear to Christ.
It's sort of a loose rap.
Yeah, kind of a Dr. Seuss of Satanism.
But the it's just the idea of eventually, of like if you look like something, it's like you become something. And then in order to get people to do what you want in your life is that you start acting even more into your own stereotype. So people think that they have you pegged. And then realizing that there's a form of you called the demonic form, which is the total opposite. Right, which is he makes this wheel of character, which is like it's like a clock, and like on each as you get to each different hour, it promotes a different sort of characteristic, and the idea is that wherever you are on the clock in appearance, there is an inner form of you that is on direct opposite on the clock, and the idea is to attract people is that you act stereotypical to what you look like.
Well, I'm going to keep my fingers I'm keeping my fingers crossed for a thin number 7. If I could just get to a thin number 7, that maybe a muscular number 8, that would be great.
But that's called The Satanic Witch. Everyone should read that. It's about getting sex.
Pretty much. So, like, yes.
That's what it's about.
So it was created by this Anton LaVey character.
Well, let's start from the very beginning. Let's just talk about...
perfect place to start.
Let's talk about Satan. 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 Satan.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we're in every writer's meeting for Black Sabbath.
So let's just start from the very beginning. Satan started off as a demon called Lucifer that was thrown out of heaven
and then banging angels, right? He was fucking one of Jesus' favorite angels.
I don't know.
Not like that. Okay.
No, he just thought that. I think his idea was I believe the original argument was about like the apple and the idea of giving human beings like knowledge of their own free will. Right. And basically, he was kicked out for that because God apparently, you know, he. Don't be an overly mobile assistant manager in heaven. You know what I mean? Because you're never going to
own this place. You're never going to own it.
You're not my father. And then he gets kicked out. And since then, there has been a grand, do you want to say, a shaming of the name of Lucifer and the devil. And this idea that what he actually stood for was true knowledge. And what his name means is the light bringer. And it's so right from the very start of the ancient stupid Christian mythology, you have an immediate sort of banishment of actual knowledge.
And that's where the Statue of Liberty, they called the Statue of Liberty Lucifer, because she's the light bringer.
Ah.
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting. It is?
Yeah.
Huh.
People are always very, very upset about it. But yeah, that was the whole point of Lucifer. Yeah. That was the whole point of Lucifer, was to bring the light.
Oh, yeah.
A good person.
Well, I think at the beginning, we need to make a distinction between Satan and the devil.
Yes.
Because I think Satan and the devil are two very different things. Because I got this book. It's my favorite art book by far. It's called The Illustrated History of the Devil. And it starts around 300 AD, whenever the first actual visualizations of the devil, like the Christian idea of the devil, first start appearing. And the devil started off as a trickster character, an idiot. A lot of demons, like I've also
like
been
Anansi, the spider guy, or like Loki, or like.
Well, I mean, even dumber than Loki. He's more like a folklore demons.
Anansi, or like the idea is that he comes and he plays like weird tricks on people, and they're like, "Get out of here, my devil!"
And he was very easy to banish. And my favorite part about the early representations of the devil is that he would look a lot like the Greek god Pan, who wasn't really a god; he was more of a demon type character. And also the concept of the satyrs, in which they have hair from the waist down.
And you know all
hooves,
this stuff, number one,
horns.
Started in Greece, right? Yeah. Where everyone's covered in a thick coat of hair. And it's just
I thought he was describing Monique for a second.
Pan and Dionysus all just came from, like, probably one fat Greek dude who banged everything. And he was like, they're like, there's Pan over there banging that melon again. And he's just like, whatever has the hole, I will fuck it. Yeah. Greece. I'm from Greece. I cover it with sake sauce and I flack it.
Jesus, man. What is in your what sort of ravioli do you have stuck in your throat right now?
But the best part about the early images of Satan is that he always had a face on his ass. Like that was the, and he just had a face on his ass, and he was usually green.
And that inspired Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting about that too is that if you look at the earliest form of what. Another image that the Christian church used to form our modern idea of the devil is Baphomet.
Oh,
Baphomet is it's not really a specific god. It's like an amalgamation of a bunch of different pagan gods that were like that all featured. The idea is that it was about balance. Baphomet featured the two halves. It was a goat-headed creature that symbolized fertility. You know, it had one arm facing up, one arm facing down. Okay. The idea was symbolized like night and day. It symbolized man and woman. And the idea of true integration of like man and nature, which Christians immediately separated. Mm-hmm. They were like, and so anything that remotely resembled duplicitousness, but it's more like the idea that there's a separation between spirit and flesh. That's what they wanted to get across as much as possible. And I think that reminded the people of the unification of that. They wanted to
So the Christians want the unification of spirit and flesh, and Satanists want the separation?
No,
of,
opposite.
Yeah, complete opposite. Yeah, because another thing that the Christians, the early Christians, were trying to do, because we all know that a lot, including Christmas, a lot of Christian holidays are just repurposed pagan holidays.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that the early Christians were trying to do, is bring paganism, or just to have people push away from paganism while still keeping all the fun parties.
Well, yes, yeah, it's like talking to a development person at a network, like for any television station. It's right. Just like talking about, you know, it's just like, listen, can we get rid of all the Satan stuff? We want to keep all the fun. We're really looking for a bit of a touch of the fun, but can we get the Tanners in there? We're looking trying to make a full house, but with a lot more blood.
Well, eventually, with the image of the devil, you know, it continued to be this trickster god for a while, until the Catholic Church realized that they could start using this this creature as a symbol of, I guess, of evil and something
of carnality.
Carnality and something to scare people. And then our modern vision of hell comes from artists like, just mentally ill artists.
Like Bosch.
Bosch. My favorite artist in the world, Hieronymus Bosch. Like, just the
Hieronymus Bosch.
Hieronymus Bosch.
How the fuck that dude?
It's a Hieronymus. Good name. I want to name my son Hieronymus.
Hieronymus is one of my favorite names I've ever heard.
I know. It's great.
Wow.
If you've never seen Hieronymus. Do you ever see that Metallica video, Until It Sleeps?
Okay.
Yeah. That was based on a Hieronymus Bosch painting called In the Garden of Earthly Delights.
Okay. Cool.
Which is my favorite painting. It's a triptych, it's gigantic. It's the size of it's the size of a building in like say here in New York.
It definitely took like more than an afternoon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He hasn't been just tiddling with this in its garage. He really has been putting some energy.
Yeah.
Hieronymus, come in for dinner.
I'm painting hell.
And it's just so many different forms of torture.
What is in the garden?
That's what it's in the garden. It's so many different forms of torture and so many different types of evil and demons and
it's
all.
Creepy. All the demons look like giant wicked birds.
Yeah, it's really, really
creepy.
Can
you think of one specific form of torture that he painted?
Whoa, it's all over. The one with the guy with his head in a cage. There's one with the guy, his head in a cage, and it's like
not the bees!
The bees! Like,
thank
literally.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, he did it. He finally stood up, and really, he was just like, hey, guys, can we do something from Hieronymus Bosch? It's like, whatever you want, Nick. Just put some pants on.
The weirdest demon in that painting is a pair of ears with a knife coming out the middle of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's also another demon that looks like it's got like a real big, it kind of looks like a bagpipe. It's got a very bulbous bottom, kind of like an onion.
Ooh, hello.
And then out of that is this strange tube and just kind of like a hole in the end, which, you know, it can suck people down. It's got all these weird arms coming off.
It's cool.
Oh, I thought Clive Barker created some good characters in Hellraiser, but fuck that, dude. Bosch is the man.
Bosch is
pretty sweet.
He is the best. He is the inspiration for most of our, like, Clive Barker stole a lot of shit from Bosch.
Right.
Which is great, though. He did in a great autumn. He did really awesome 80s gay S&M take on Bosch.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
More leather. That's what he's missing.
Needs more leather. No, I... So the more you read into this stuff, though, it's really... It's fun how people took all that imagery and just made it into like fun little things for a long time.
But it seems like Bosch was taken very seriously by the Catholic Church.
Bosch was taken extremely seriously.
Was he like, I mean, not to get too off the subject of Satanism, but was he like financed by the church?
No, he wasn't.
They were like, that's the version of hell we're going with.
That's pretty sweet, yeah. And he also,
hey, I'm not going to shake your hand, but I'm definitely going to take these paintings.
Well, he and really
him.
what it was, it wasn't that the Catholic Church started taking it, it's that other artists. Like, he had a lot of copycats at the time.
Okay.
And so other artists started building upon...
He was around the times of the plagues as well, and there was a lot of hell imagery. That was kind of...
Look out your window, right?
Yeah, the plague was happening. Everyone believed it was a punishment from God trying to erase humankind.
Right.
And they were right. Yeah, guess what? But God wasn't powerful enough to kill everybody. Were you, God?
Come get us, God. Come get us, God. So, do some static over that. So Bosch is the one who first started the slander campaign against Satan in hell.
Oh, no, that started before him. Bosch
was
just
sad
upon
and
others.
Mad.
He was just insane. Yeah. Bosch was just fucking crazy,
so let's
but
go,
brilliant.
Let's go through some satanic clubs through time.
Sounds good.
Real quick. Just real quick, because there's two different kinds of satanic clubs that I both into that one, which I love, right? There's the fun kind, and there's the guys in serious robes and doing, like,
right.
who really think they're doing some demonic shit. Like, the fun kind, so there's, like, stuff like the Hellfire Club, which started the 1700s, which is another... it was made of, who was it? It was like Benjamin Franklin was in one.
Oh, wow.
And all this stuff. And what these were they were fuck clubs where you'd go and they were these, they would dress in the full regalia and they would kneel to Baphomet and then they would just suck each other's dicks and smoke opium. And like, that's all they did. And so everyone started this whole mystique around them about being
Bosch
like, what
paintings
do they do?
On that. That
yeah,
would be
hot. Oh, what? Just fat white men sucking each other's dicks?
Ooh.
Ugh. They're semi-hard penises.
God, Ben
Either
Franklin
they're eating
was
spaghetti in there. Or
can you imagine what
dicks.
Ben Franklin's cock smelled like?
The amount of cheese odor coming off of that nutsack.
There's nothing but nothing
wrapped
but cheese.
In wool.
God,
his
Ben Franklin.
Teeth.
Nobody talks about how big of a fucking disgusting asshole Ben Franklin was.
Oh, absolutely. I bet he could eat a butt.
Oh, I'm sure he could.
I mean, he was
the
an
fun
expert
club.
At eating butt.
So those guys were having a good time. Any other clubs on
there's
par?
Was this Hellfire Club in America or France?
This is all in England and France and Ireland, and that was where it all started. This is also, because the Hellfire Club was also sort of making fun of what would be like the Masonic lodges and Shriners lodges that would turn into what you could maybe consider the modern day Illuminati, if that's real or not. But like, there's a lot of what Masonic and the Shriners do is they cover up a lot of what they, you know, it's a Christian or they're a Christian organization, and they do a lot of ritualistic stuff that's supposed to like be again they were supposed to be very fun. Like the Shriners is supposed to be funny, like the,
right.
like them getting in the crazy costumes, they do
little cars
stuff, like little cars and stuff like that. But there's also a sort of you know, rumor that underneath what they do is a sort of a magical ritual that they may actually be doing it for the good of mankind to promote peace. And that's kind of where this idea of the world government comes from, and the idea is that, like, well, all we could stop a war if we get the whole world in a one giant like umbrella government. You know what I mean? But
if everyone just started sucking each other's dicks, everything would be fine.
Exactly, but because the thing is, in order to make a lot of these so-called spells work, because you know, if you go. We filmed in the Shriners Club, and I was not allowed to go into a lot of the rooms, like when we were filming in Atlanta, because it was the Grand Temple of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And in there, like they said, it's like they have this weird slide that you have to, like, it's you start the ceremony and you go down the slide and you're all blindfolded, and the whole thing is like, you know, will you die or live at the end of this slide? And apparently they do worship graven images of a Baphomet like character. Cool. And then in order to get these magical spells along, like with the masturbation sigil, you need a release of blood or sexual energy. And so a lot of times you have these old men sort of fucking sucking each other's dicks and doing all this stuff in order to make their spells come true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that's another story.
You know, like, half of the dudes are just like, I just want to suck so many dicks.
God, I can't wait to suck Marv's dick.
Marv, just you want to release that energy, Marv.
And then, all right, so another group that's like the Hellfire Club, it's Bohemian Grove. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about this, which is in America, which takes place in a secluded woodland area in Northern California called Bohemian Grove. And there's a lot of people who say that that's where in the 1950s, it's like a two-week-long, like, party hangout time. Time for the super rich and politicians to hang out. It's super secret.
It's like their Bonnaroo.
It's exactly. And what they do is at the beginning of every Bohemian Grove ceremony, there's a giant owl statue that they burn an effigy of a human inside of it. And that's true. You could see footage of that online.
Love it.
What was the name of the guy that that snuck into Bohemian Grove?
Oh, my fucking brain. He's from Coast to Coast.
Art Bell?
It's not Art Bell. It's George Norrie.
Yeah.
And what does the owl symbolize?
That's another sort of, it's like a fertility thing and like an all-watching thing.
Okay.
And it's a weird like amalgamation of pagan deities. But that's a fun club.
Okay.
But there's also a lot of people talking about in there, you know, that's where the Manhattan Project came from, was that Oppenheimer and a couple other politicians were getting fuzzed at the Bohemian Grove talking about how we need to make a new weapon.
Wow.
It's said that a lot of the biggest decisions that are made Throughout world history in the last, what was it, 50, 60 years?
Like where Barack Obama was made president and where we decided. It's where Call Me Maybe came from.
Call
Me Maybe was written at Bohemian Grove in order to help hypnotize.
Hello, maybe. Yes, this is Dog.
It's just weird. All these major decisions surrounded by people in loincloths.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, just fat white men.
Yeah.
Just they, in wood somewhere.
Yeah, they make decisions the same way. They make decisions and plans the same way that
we do.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Just drunk, like smoking
just
weed.
Drunk,
where all the best decisions
smoking.
Come from.
You know what fucking great ideas, man? I was like, we need an atomic bomb, dude.
Man, you know what? You know what I fucking hate?
What?
I fucking hate the Twin Towers,
man. You know what we gotta do? Listen to me, man. This may be the fucking Jaeger talking, but I think if we bring the towers down, we could get a whole bunch of wars fucking going.
Yeah, man.
Don't blame Jaeger for 9/11, please. Out of all the beverages.
There's the serious clubs, which is people like
we could start a Jägermeister started 9/11 thing. That would be great.
But you have the Age of the Golden Dawn, which is a magical society that Aleister Crowley came out of.
Also and these good.
These are people that take it very, very seriously.
Okay,
These are the bad clubs. These are the people that kind of sit around, and these are the people really doing like sex rituals and blood rituals and probably have like done a lot of sinister things, and that's been around since the 1800s. It's very much so linked to whatever magic is going on in Masonic temples. And then there's another group called the Order of Nine Angles, which was like revamped in the 80s by neo-Nazis, and the idea of sort of that's kind of connected to a sort of satanic fascism where they just believe, you know, sort of satanic Hitler come to life. That's what they want to make.
Like
Dead
Snow, that fantastic zombie film.
Yeah. And it's just real. You know what I mean? There's just like meetings of those meetings. Because now it's like that all used to take place in England.
I think, but I'm now, not sure if I would rather go to see one of those meetings or go to one of those drinking liberally meetings.
Well, some of the Aleister Crowley meetings, like
very sinister.
Those
very
are extremely
fun.
Sinister. Like, there were, of course, I mean, there were murders involved.
Oh,
in those. Yeah.
And
they would actively recruit and destroy people. There's a story of Aleister Crowley taking this one guy out into the desert, feeding him peyote, and then fucking him in the ass for 2 days straight.
Yeah.
And the guy comes back. Aleister Crowley's fine. The guy is destroyed. Broken man, never recovered.
Well, his philosophy and that where the like it was used in the Hellfire Club and used in the Golden Dawn, which is his idea of do what thou wilt, which is a major tenet in now also modern day Satanism, which is the idea of super individualistic, do what's good for you. And Aleister Crowley just, you know, but Aleister Crowley also believed he fucking talked to a golden eagle that he wrote the laws of the forbidden down and like in Egypt, he
creeps me the fuck out.
He's creepy,
dude. Like, he's one of the few people in history that actually does creep me out just a little bit.
He's sort of like the main villain in that terrible 80s remake of Dragnet starring Tom Hanks. What about the Black Order of Germany? Is that something?
What is the Black Order? Is that just a witch? Is that a witch thing?
Is that something? I have no idea. I
don't know.
Down.
That sounds like a witch thing because Germany has a lot of, they have a long history of witches.
Yeah.
Well, that's just, again, that's just, if you want to go back in time and talk about it, it's just anytime anyone was ever groovy, they were a witch. In the time of modern Catholicism and Christianity, if you were dancing, having a good time, if you were a hot chick, because that's what they were thought, that's what they, the term enchantment comes from that. Like, it comes from the idea, it's like, you know, some priest is banging some hot chick, and then he's just like, the devil, the power of the devil made me do it. It's the best way to fucking, that's what Tiger Woods should have done.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree.
Yeah, that shit doesn't fly anymore. And I'm reading that demon, got this book, The Field Guide to Demons, and most of the demons are used as folk tales to either, one, keep people from accidentally drowning, two, keeping people from falling off a mountain, and three, having an excuse for fucking some other woman that's not your wife.
I like that last one.
Or somebody who's not your husband. It works both ways.
Oh, it's pretty great. Yeah. It's a good catch-all.
It is a good catch-all. So with this history here, how does Anton LaVey like put his stamp on Satanism?
Anton LaVey is the guy who brought it all home. He's the guy who finally figured out how to do this in a fun way that you could even, you know, kids were doing it.
But it's a little dark, a little sinister.
It's a little dark. It's fun. It's fun. So let's talk about Anton LaVey with the American Church of Satan. He started it in 1967.
Hail now, Satan!
Hail Satan! Now, he was a carnival barker. He was an organ grinder, they say. Like, that's what he did. He spent his, like, life being, like, a hypnotist, doing all this stuff.
A photographer?
He was a photographer for, like, he was a crime photographer. Yeah. That was his big thing. And what he realized, you know, his main, he said as a child, the first thing he read was this, like, you know, the idea of, like, he was obsessed with war. And he realizes as you watch this, you know, it's like people buy weapons in order to win wars. And he's just like, the meek doesn't inherit the earth. It's the strong guys
right.
that inherit the earth. And they're laughing. They're laughing and lying to us.
Yeah.
Because they're telling us the weak inherit the earth, and
yeah,
that's
the person
just not
who
true.
Wrote that was very strong.
Very
he's
strong.
Like, oh, no, just continue to be meek. You're gonna get it done.
And it's with working as a carnival barker and working in like that line of, he realized that, you know, humankind has a twofold nature, and that we like to separate them. Like, we separate our personality into, you know, as you were saying, like, on Saturday night, you'd see a man, like, he'd be playing the organ for the, like, the burlesque night at the carnival, and you'd see a guy, like, all over woman, sucking on her and all this stuff. And then Sunday morning, first thing in the morning, you'd see him right there, and he's playing the organ for the church service in the same exact tent, and he's sitting there with his family, and he's just acting like it's totally fine because he has separated his personalities, which make him not a complete human being.
See,
right?
I love that.
Yeah.
Because I had this.
It's a great idea. I mean, that's a great fucking ideal.
Because the whole idea is that it's not. The modern Church of Satan does not believe in a god, a deity, Satan. They believe that Satan is the natural energy that explains certain things that science can't explain. But it's also just where we are right next to the animals.
Yeah,
you know, it's nature. It's cruel, like yet fair nature.
Or more than anything, it's just a symbol.
Yes, it's a fun symbol too. Yeah. And you can also, like, that's the one of the other, it's like you have to know that, like, you know, that once again, it's like you don't really believe in an actual power. You believe in the power of yourself and where you stand in nature. And nature is powerful. The earth is powerful. And then the other thing is that you have to have a pretty heavy contempt for organized religions.
Yeah.
The idea of, and so you use their symbology against them because symbology, like, makes humans believe in it harder. You need the ritual. You need the sign. You need the to enter the space. And there's just certain things that can only happen in private. You have to do things in mass. You have to do things publicly.
Yeah. Well, that's why the Catholic Church is so popular. That's why the Hasidic Jewish community and Orthodox Jewish community has such a strong hold over its members, and why people are so fucking afraid to leave.
You dress
the
in the garb.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have the devil's name, you play the devil's game. It's the idea. You dress the garb. You dress the part, and then if you fill the part.
Yeah. Why do you think my on-stage character in my band is covered in blood, skull face paint, X on my forehead, and a cowboy hat?
It's not because it's not just cool. You know what I mean?
No.
It's because I am the soil child, and the devil belongs to me.
That's right.
Very
He's
good.
Into it. I like it. By the way, the Hasidics, my brother was at the gay pride parade this year. The Hasidics were the only group protesting.
Man, they must have been so hot.
I know.
They're in
so
their jackets and their hats,
man.
Looking at men in Speedos.
Man, like, they're really getting into protest these days.
They love it.
They had that huge gathering at City Field.
More than anybody else, I think they really hate the passage of time.
Oh, my goodness. The future is not looking bright for them. It's quite unfortunate.
So I want to read the 9 to 10. Oh, do you have a question?
I do. I just want to say, so what was you go back to that one thing where you were saying with when the guy was touching all the boobies and then he went and played the organ for church. Like, what did Anton think about that guy?
That's what he's just saying, that this
He's not a full person?
That guy can, he's not a full person. He separated himself into, like, his animal nature, which is all secret and forbidden and shitty. And then he puts on this public, this hypocritical face of being a religious man on Sunday, and so it's like
shows you half each time.
It's just always it's also the inconsistency of a Christian God. It's also the idea that, like, you can live your whole life being a rapist and murderer, and then if you go on death row, a priest can come up to you 5 minutes before you die and forgive you all your sins, and you get to go to heaven.
Yeah, where what's that's called the Yazidia?
No, there's another. That's an ancient. There's a Kurdish tribe called the Yazidi that is a Satanist-like tribe that they worship a Baphomet-type god. But the idea is that they also believe in a god, but the god is so powerful and forgiving that they don't even pay attention to God. They only worship the devil. They want to please the devil because they know no matter what they do in their life, in the last 5 minutes of their life, they can just get forgiveness from God
and go
to heaven.
Yeah, we can do a whole other episode on different cultures.
Yeah, I love it.
Concept. Like, I mean, how we can go through death cults. We can go through Kali, all kinds of shit.
Oh, yeah. So here's
But it's interesting. It reminded me of a story. I had a teacher, Mr. Brill. I went to a really Christian school, and Mr. Brill was a disgusting fat man who had a disgusting fat wife.
Like
and
Eddie Brill?
Like well, I'm not saying it. I want to get booked on Letterman. Wait a second. So he would always...
Women aren't funny.
Oh, Jesus, man. We're going to start a Twitter campaign.
Hail Satan. Hail Satan made me do it. Satan made me do it.
Jesus Christ, man. It's more controversial than saying the N-word right now and saying women aren't funny. For fuck's sake. But he would teach us anti-masturbation and stuff in class, and we went to the porn shop when I was 17, and I saw him there. And it reminded me of that story. We met eyes, and then he immediately squirted on out of there. So he was being a half person.
Oh, absolutely, because there's nothing quite as makes you hard as, like, how forbidden and secret it is.
Right.
Believe me, I spent 2 weeks in a hotel. Gets weird.
did I tell you
about this guy? One quick anecdote before I go into this. I'm reading The Satanic Witch, and first of all, my whole hotel room is just trash. It's just covered in red paint, and like I've also, because I had a very bad skin irritation, I had to cover myself with moisturizer. So everything's also got like moisturizer stains, like grease stains all over it, and I left my Satanic Witch book out. I've been hiding it because I've noticed that Hispanic maids, when you're in the makeup, like specifically, take it very seriously.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
I'm sure they do.
Oh, yeah. Dios mío! I have another story.
I have another story about that.
The exact thing that they think is going to come through the door at all times.
What? So
they're just waiting for
two stories. Then the first one. So it's like I left the Satanic Witch book out, which has got a big Baphomet symbol on the front of it. And then when I came back in, they had done housekeeping, and she left a moisturizer, like a body lotion thing, on top of the book.
Whoa.
That's weird, right?
That is
weird.
Yeah,
to keep the demon in or something?
I don't know. And then the other one was I was filming in an elevator, and I had this shotgun in my hand. The whole thing is I'm supposed to go in to kill this guy, and I go into this elevator with the shotgun. The whole thing, I'm supposed to stop it before it goes up. And I'm in full demon regalia with the shotgun in my hands. And then all of a sudden, it's just like I didn't hit the button fast enough, and the elevator starts going to the fourth floor. I'm sitting there with the shotgun in my hands going, oh, fuck. And then the door opens, and it's this family, and they lose their shit because I'm just like I'm sitting there. I'm shotgun and full of demon makeup, and they're just like, oh my god, and I was just I'm sorry. But what I wanted to do was like, vengeance has come. Hail Satan. Hail Adrian.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. All right.
So these are the 9 satanic statements that Anton LaVey put. I think we're already at like, is this an hour long podcast?
No, we're only like half an hour.
Oh, sweet.
It's fine.
Here's the 9 satanic statements that are fun. 1. Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence.
Satan.
Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams.
I like that one.
Satan represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-defeat.
I like that.
Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates.
That one's fantastic.
Wow.
Satan represents...
That could lead to a Holocaust.
I mean, sort of. Depends on who you say is ingrate. Right. Yeah. But he also believes in moral relativism, so it really depends on each person. Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. That's what he says. If someone smite thou cheek, smash his cheek. Something like that. Satan represents responsibility to the responsible instead of concern for psychic vampires. Satan.
The concept of psychic vampires seems to come up a lot on this show.
It's because my mom constantly talks about psychic vampires.
That's what it is, yeah.
Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those that walk on all fours, who, because of his divine, spiritual, and intellectual development, has become the most vicious animal of all.
True.
Satan represents all of the so-called sins, as they all lead to physical, mental, or emotional gratification. Satan has been the best friend the church has ever had, and he, as he has kept it in business all these years.
That's entirely accurate.
But what I also like, talk about the sins thing, too, because a major tenet is also the idea of constantly celebrating the seven mortal sins of Christianity, which is pride, envy, gluttony, sloth, wrath.
Kevin Spacey. Brad Pitt.
Lust.
Envy.
We already got envy. We only got six out of seven here.
Gluttony.
Forgetfulness? Is that one?
Vanity.
Vanity.
Yeah.
What is it? And no, so the idea here is that each one, that you celebrate each one in your own way. And like, it's like my favorite one was talking about envy. He's just like, envy, yes, you look upon another man's things and you want those things for yourself. But that's the major thing for ambition. That's the major element you need in order to succeed in life. Envy drives success. So he's like,
what about sloth?
Sloth, what was it he said about sloth? It was just saying something about like how the problem with sloth is it's like, so what, you want to stay in bed an extra hour? Problem with sloth is that it normally leads to lustful thoughts, and God forbid you have lustful thoughts, and that like that's where all sloth is the perfect thing to lead into a sexual magic practice.
I love a nice slothy day.
Oh yeah,
it's perfect.
Tomorrow's going to be one hell of a slothy day.
I sat in my own filth for 15 hours yesterday watching a Vincent Price movie, smoking weed. It was great.
It's a wonderful day.
I'm not going to put on pants until like 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Don't have to.
I'm going to smoke weed. I might even rub myself with something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe some chocolate.
Mm,
turn off the air conditioner. Get all sweaty. Just start smashing M&M's on my
titties. Don't let anybody see you.
I just sit there in the dark. Anton would allow that. Sounds pretty disgusting.
But there's a lot in here. You could talk about this for a long time. Did you have another? What were the seven?
Nine satanic sins are stupidity is number one.
Oh yes.
Pretentiousness is number two, and then number three, or it's kind of a tough one to pronounce. Solipsism.
Yeah. Solipsism is it's the idea that one person thinks that they are the only true human being on earth.
Right. Yeah, because
they're the only brain that exists.
Like Satanism is all about, like, you know, respect that each person has their own individual mind, and that like, that's the moral relativism thing. So you can't tell anybody what to do with their life because you don't know where they come from and what their set of rules
are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the modern version of solipsism is thinking a lot of it. This has become more and more a problem over the years, that people think that they are the only human in a world of robots.
I love it. Yeah. And number four, self-deceit. Number five is herd conformity. Number six, lack of perception. Number seven, forgetful of past orthodoxies. And number eight, counterproductive pride, and number nine, lack of aesthetics.
I love that. I really enjoy all of it. Yeah, that is a fucking fantastic list of sins to avoid.
Every time I read about this too, but that's what I'm saying, is that every time you, like, I was reading this thing about like true Satanists, and the idea is like, if you read this stuff and you identify with it, that's how you've already been living your whole life,
right?
Yeah.
Then it's like, you've been in the club all along, buddy. It's great. We're all lone wolves. But we're in the club now of lone wolves.
I've been a Satanist for years. I just didn't know it. I didn't know it.
Yep. This is why I didn't fucking get behind the Tea Party. This is why I don't get behind Occupy. Fucking love this. It's against the satanic rules.
Yeah.
Herd conformity. Do not conform.
God, it's great.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Do not conform.
Do not conform. Do not. Well, just don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
Just be yourself.
Smoke weed, enjoy yourself. You guys want to talk about the satanic ritual abuse? Because I could talk about the Church of Satan. I am not going to deign to say I am an expert on this. I am a new student. I'm learning about this every single day. I'm trying to, like, believe me, like, listeners, if you have any more like things to send me about old magic and Satanism,
we would love to hear it.
Yeah, cavecomedyradio@gmail.com.
Because I know Ragnar is going to have like nine things to say about what we've said wrong, and that's fine.
Oh yeah, and that's fine. Yeah,
need to be educated.
Well, do we want to get into the?
Well, let's talk about the satanic ritual abuse right now, and the, like, this is how people perceive Satanism to be. Like,
well,
how
this is all how the things are framed. Like, what's happened with the recent, like, all of the creepy crimes that's happened
recently? It started in the early 80s. It was the fear that Satanists were kidnapping children or using children for ritual abuse in order to appease
Satan.
And
Anton LaVey specifically says to never use children or animals for sacrifice.
Yeah,
and he also doesn't believe in human sacrifice. The idea is that you hex someone. If you want to sacrifice someone, you put a hex on them.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Not like never physical blood.
Yeah.
Cut your hand or cut your nipple or something.
And a lot of these trials, like there were a few trials throughout the 80s and early 90s that were these daycares were accused of satanic ritual abuse against the children that they were supposedly trying to take care of. Here are some of the accusations. And the one accusation, I have no fucking clue why, but the one accusation that runs through every single one of these cases, hot air balloon rides.
Now, this is during the 1980, like, rash of people blaming, like, molested, like, this is when the whole hidden memory thing really took off, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like kids were getting put into hypnosis and told to, like, remember, like, their molestation stuff. It's like, what's the term?
Not hidden, repressed memories. Yeah.
And so this was when all this, like, all the new Satanist fervor came out.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, why would you even pretend to get that out of people? If it's repressed, just let it be down there.
Yeah.
It's perfect. You know, it's like the bloop in the bottom of the ocean.
The brain does a good job of hiding that shit for a reason. We're all trying to be normal, man.
Yeah. Keep the door shut, man.
Well, one of the biggest of these, and one of the first, was called the McMartin Preschool Trial. Here's some of the accusations.
That's a sexy name.
Yeah, it McMartin is. Preschool. School trial. Here's some of the accusations that the kids made. But it's also said, take this with a grain of salt, because it's also said a lot of this stuff was like, it started with one kid who had a fucking amazing imagination and said that all this stuff happened, and then they started suggesting it to all the rest of the children.
Yeah.
And they started
Diablo
eventually. They eventually said it.
Yeah!
Hail Satan!
One kid said, or they said that they saw witches fly, traveled in a hot air balloon. They were taken through underground tunnels. One child said that he was molested by Chuck Norris at this daycare.
So it just basically just tells you what kind of shows his parents were watching.
Yeah. It said that
broomsticks and doorknobs or whatever.
And broomsticks.
Fucking flying witch, just witch and Wizard of Oz.
Like, some of the abuse was alleged to have occurred in secret tunnels beneath the school. Several investigations turned up evidence of old buildings on the site and other debris from before the school was built, but no evidence of any secret chambers were found. There were claims of orgies at car washes and airports, and of children being
it's the 80s,
and of children being flushed down toilets to secret rooms where they would be abused, then cleaned up and presented back to their unsuspecting
stolen
parents.
From Ghoulies.
Like, in the Willy Wonka child molestation made his wonderful molestation factory.
Yeah, some interviewed children talked of a game called Naked Movie Star.
No!
You know.
Suggesting that they were forcefully photographed nude during the trial. Testimony from the children stated that the Naked Movie Star game was actually a rhyming taunt used to tease other children. Here's the taunt. What you say is what you are. You're a naked movie star.
I would love
that
to.
That's
be a
all
naked
it was.
Movie.
It was
so interesting.
Yeah, that's all it was.
What you say is what you are.
You're a naked movie star.
I'm going to start saying that to myself to get pumped up.
So this is another blow to Satanism here in the 1980s.
Yeah.
By the one and only Geraldo Rivera, who did an expose in 1987.
It's just a very sexy image to attach to, like, what then comes into, like, a horrible, either real or not molestation. So I think, you know, that's what the all these people got, like, acquitted, right?
Yeah,
pretty much. Like, it all fell through.
Yeah, because the main person who made these statements, that it was found to be like 3 years later that he was mentally ill, and that information was kept from the defense.
Yeah,
like the prosecution, they knew that he was mentally ill, but they kept it away from him.
Yeah,
but you know, like the stories of Satanists. I know in my small town, like there were always stories of like Satanists. Like that's where Satanists hang out. Like that abandoned house has Satanists.
My big thing was
video game arcade,
and there would be like you go in these houses, and there'd be like pentagrams spray painted on the walls. Just a bunch of fucking kids, like all
time.
The freaks fucking with the popular kids.
Yeah,
that's all it was. It was the smart kids. kids fucking with the dumb kids.
Yeah.
And that's the way it always is, because the idea is like, well, so there's that also that documentary called Paradise Lost, where those, mm-hmm. I mean, those kids were stupid, but like,
yeah.
They, you know,
I mean,
they
one of them was legally stupid.
Yeah, they all had problems.
Legally stupid.
Which is three
you
got
announced
kids.
Legally stupid.
Yeah, that's the story. I don't know if you don't know, it's the story of three, it's a great documentary about three goth kids who wrote 666 in their notebooks, and they got convicted of a brutal rape and murder of a little boy, and it basically, you find out three documentaries later, they've been exonerated, and
20 years in prison.
Yeah, and they're pretty much, it's pretty much definitely the deed of one of their uncles, who's as normal as they can be.
It wasn't even one of their uncles, it was a pedophile that lived across the street from where they found the body of the boy, but the detectives were like, no, we got him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We got these heavy metal music listening kids.
But that's the reason
they
why
they were big Metallica fans.
If I ever have children, I will always say, like, you can trust the man in black with the pentagram. That's the man you actually want to trust.
Yeah.
The ones you don't want to trust is fucking Uncle Fred. Uncle Fred's going to molest you because he's an uncle now.
Tacky shorts and fucking white sneakers.
Yeah, you see the neighbor? Don't touch him. He's obviously a molester. You can
if see you
see
somebody that looks like an assistant football coach, don't talk
don't
to
talk
them.
To him.
Do
don't
not talk
to him.
Them.
Yeah. Never be a part of a children's organization or a children's group, because all it is just, it just makes perverts have power. You know?
Yeah.
Again, no. Just like it's like a priest. Never even be in a fucking same room as a priest.
God, no.
God.
Right. Well, I think
did I tell the story?
Let's end on the story, yeah.
As I was walking to the podcast today, full with power, filled with vigor,
right.
Ready to do this podcast, I saw a man handing out a watchtower in the L-Train station.
And, Watchtower is the Jehovah's Witness Armageddon pamphlet.
Yeah, and I went to grab it from him because I wanted to read it on the podcast, and he went, no! And he, like, pulled it away from me, and I was just like, come on! I want to know!
I
sensed the demon in you.
I walked by that guy, too. He looked a little unhinged.
I'm going to pull his pants down.
Yeah. Do that rhyme. Scream that rhyme at him.
What you say is what you are. You're a naked movie star.
That's great. And you're all naked movie stars out there.
So in all sincerity, I want to give a hail Satan to our listeners. I trust that the power of Satan leads you to good things today.
Absolutely. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Serve yourself. You know, be kind to those who deserve it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. All right, we love you. For Marcus Parks, Ben Kissel, Henry Zebrowski.
Yep.
Yep. We will talk to you next, probably next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Magoosalations.
Magoosalations. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.